Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, I'm going to get started with an observation. I think the verdict is in for us, really globally, all around the world. And here's the verdict, that we are living in an increasingly lonely world. That's just the fact, that we are living in an increasingly lonely world, not just because of the new social distancing measures that have been put in place because of the coronavirus pandemic. But we're living in a very lonely world because of the reality that people are just more disengaged in these days than ever before, particularly because of the individualistic culture that we live in here in the West. I just want you to consider for a moment what's being reported all over the world as we consider this phenomenon. The British Prime Minister has appointed the world's first government minister responsible for dealing with, watch this, a loneliness. This is unprecedented. More than 9 million adults in Britain say that they often or always feel lonely. Stats from Britain show that 200,000 elderly citizens say that they hadn't had a conversation with a family member or friend in more than 1 month. It's a big problem over there. Now listen to some of the headlines from the United States. Some of the headlines that came out prior to the coronavirus pandemic. From the Washington Post, Surgeon General says that there's a loneliness pandemic. A USA Today, young people report more loneliness than the elderly. The Boston Globe, the biggest threat facing middle-aged men isn't smoking or obesity. Watch this. It's loneliness. Well, what about here in Canada? Well, numbers from Stats Canada show that 1 in 5 Canadians say that they have felt lonely in the past year. That number jumps to 2 in 3 for university students. That's a big number. A Canadian morning show recently aired a segment entitled, "The Battle Against Loneliness in Canada Needs More Government Help." Loved ones, the world around us is beginning to realize and identify that loneliness is a very real problem. But what about for the Church of Jesus Christ? What about in the church? I came across a recent interview with Rosaria Butterfield. Listen to a bit of the interview. I'll put this up on the screen for you. It says this, "Is the church breeding loneliness?" Rosaria Butterfield answers yes. She believes that we have declared independence from each other in our culture and sadly in our churches. Once upon a time, the church was of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common: shared time, shared food, shared possessions. Many of our churches today have left behind that picture of the family of God, though. The contemporary Western church's absolutely low or non-existent culture of family of God has fostered an unparalleled depth of loneliness, with single women in particular buried at the bottom. Shared identity, that was the early church. A family bound together by the blood of Jesus. Now this morning, we are beginning a brand new sermon series, and it is called A Never Alone, Rediscovering the Necessity and Power of Life Together. And I believe that the timing of this series has been planned out by God. Why do I say that? I say that because this series is not in any way a reaction to the global pandemic, this coronavirus. In fact, this series was actually planned months before we found ourselves, all of us, socially isolated. And so, loved ones, I want you to understand that God has led us as a church here in this particular time. And so our aim for this series remains the same. Here's our aim: to recapture and to rediscover God's design for His church as it relates to our fellowship and our relationship to one another. Now, before we jump in, I want you to consider this together for a moment. That could it be, loved ones, that God has providentially allowed all of us to feel a level of isolation so deeply and so personally in order to drive home more effectively and more practically into all of our hearts the truth and the reality of what's going to come to us in this sermon series? Could it be that each and every one of us are feeling in some way, in some measure, a sense of a deep isolation right now so that we can experience the truth and the reality of this truth from God's word, that we are not to be alone as believers in Jesus Christ, that He has woven us together as a beautiful family, and that He wants us right now to experience this in such a deep and profound way? I believe the answer to that question is yes. God has providentially caused all of the events of our day today to bring us to this place to hear from God's word. And so the title of this morning's message, the first message of our series today, is this: you don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. And as I say those words, I'm thinking about the people of our church. As I say those words, I'm thinking about some of you that have felt isolated already, even before this global pandemic hit. I'm thinking about the people of our church who are feeling lonely. And maybe you have never felt that before, but now, because of this global pandemic, you're feeling it and you're wondering what God's purpose is in it. You, loved ones, we as the Church of Jesus Christ don't have to be alone. And so I want you to take your Bibles right away and turn with me to Acts chapter 2, starting from verse 42, and we're going to read down to verse 45. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 45. We've been in this passage before, and we're going to jump into it again because there's so much for us here. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 45, this is what the Word of God says. It says this: "And they," the early church, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and," watch this, "the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Verse 44, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common," watch this, "and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Loved ones, one thing that I want to point out to us today on the outset of this sermon series is this: we all need, maybe now more than ever, true and biblical fellowship. And in order for us to get our arms around that reality, that we all need true and biblical fellowship, as difficult as it may be in the times that we are living in, it's going to be important for us to understand what biblical fellowship is. And so this is where we're going to start this morning. If you have a pen and a paper in hand with your Bibles open, I want you to write this down. Fellowship means that, number one, fellowship means that we all share a common life. Fellowship means that we all share a common life. Notice verse 42 again. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Now, I just want to give us a bit of the context. Jesus Christ has been crucified. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. He appeared to his disciples. He gave them the Great Commission. He ascended to heaven, having promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, sure enough, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. An amazing revival breaks out. 3,000 people are saved on that day. It's a remarkable. The church of Jesus Christ is born. And what do these new and Spirit-filled followers of Jesus Christ do? This is important for us to see. Now, having counted the cost, they've given up everything to follow Jesus Christ, and they're all now ushered into an entirely new way of life. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us a bit of now this new way of life. Notice it again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is a bit of what these new believers who have been ushered into this new way of life have been committing themselves to: the Word of God, fellowship, prayer. And so the word fellowship is what we're going to be focused on here in this series, and specifically today, and it's an important word that I want us to understand. The original word is used in a few different ways in the New Testament. It's translated in other places, sharing, or participation, or partnership. Here in Acts 2:42, when we're told that they devoted themselves to the fellowship, we're being told something so deeply insightful and profound that's often missing from very much of the Christian church in the Western world. Now, what this means is that the earliest Christians shared in a common life together. When we say that they've devoted themselves to the fellowship, it means that they are sharing a common life together, that there was a sense all of a sudden that somehow they belonged to one another, that something new and supernatural had happened to them on the day of Pentecost that brought them into relationship with one another. It was a fellowship. It was true fellowship. And they couldn't get enough of it. They devoted their lives to it. Now, I was so encouraged this week connecting with one of our Hope Group leaders as I heard him talking and sharing how much his group just wanted to be together. I was so encouraged by that. He shared with us that they decided that they wanted to meet more than just once a week. And when they met, they had allocated an hour for their meeting. But after the hour was up, they didn't want to stop meeting. They wanted to continue a meeting together and lingering together. And I was so encouraged by that. It's such a good picture of fellowship. But then I wondered, well, but why exactly? Why? Is it because they simply missed meeting together? Maybe. Is it because they just really, really like each other's company? Probably that as well. Or could it be so much deeper than that? True Christian fellowship, loved ones, always goes much deeper than just enjoying the company of the people you're with, or just missing the time spent with people you're with. You see, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 isn't simply a description of people who had a lot of things in common and who enjoyed spending time together. That's not really what fellowship is. Acts 2:42 is in fact a description of people, thousands of people, who had one singular life-altering thing in common. And it was this, that all of their lives were radically changed by Jesus Christ, and they had been brought into fellowship with him. In other words, what brought them together was not their common interests. What brought them together was not necessarily a common culture. What brought them together was not a common ethnicity. What brought them together was not a common socioeconomic status. What brought them together was, watch this, the common life they shared in Jesus Christ. That is a good description of what fellowship is. We all share, loved ones, a common life, all of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now on the screen for you, John Piper puts it this way in his definition of fellowship. I love this, so clear and so helpful. Piper says this, fellowship is a mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that puts us into deep eternal relationship with one another. I'm going to read that again. It's so good. Fellowship is a mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that puts us in a deep eternal relationship with one another. It's our common life in Christ that puts us in meaningful relationships with one another. Listen to how the Apostle John says it again on the screen in 1 John 1, verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. We have seen and heard and witnessed about Jesus Christ. We proclaim Jesus. He goes on to say, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim Jesus to you, the Apostle John says, so that you can know Jesus, so that you can then have fellowship with us. He goes on the screen, 1 John 1, verse 7, to say this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, watch this, we have fellowship with one another. Now, you'd almost expect him to say, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. Yes, that's true. But he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he says, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, it is our relationship with Christ. It is our union with Jesus Christ. It is our walking in the light of Christ that brings us now into deeper and more meaningful relationship with one another. This is what fellowship is all about. Our common life shared, our union that is in Jesus Christ. This, loved ones, may be part of the reason why so many relationships in the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly in the Western world, but not just restricted to the Western world, this may be part of the reason why so many relationships in the church are so often a non-existent or weak or easily shaken. Because maybe we've based our relationships on something other than the common life we share in Christ. Maybe we've rooted our relationships in other things that are not our most common, most powerful, most profound bond, which is our common life in Jesus Christ, our union with Christ. And the reason we do this so often, the reason we place our relationships in rooting them in other things is because we don't fully have a grasp sometimes on what biblical fellowship really is. That in the church, we all have the tremendous potential for the most meaningful and most powerful and most durable and most edifying, most encouraging relationships. Listen now, not because we all like the same sports, not because we all have the same hobbies, not because we all worship in the exact same way or we all cook the exact same foods or because we all really like each other and feel like we're very much similar to each other, but because of the one who binds us together, this is what constitutes true biblical fellowship, and this is the power of true biblical fellowship. Now, I know, loved ones, that it's very easy to be part of a church for a while and to begin to feel like maybe you don't belong. I wonder if that describes anybody watching or worshiping with us today. I also know that it's easy to be part of a church for a while and really enjoy being there because there are a lot of people there that are just like you. Those two things can happen very easily. But both spectrums miss out on the beauty of true fellowship. And I wonder how many among us are missing out on the power and the necessity of true biblical fellowship. Loved ones, as we get started in this series, in this unique times that we are living in, let's stop here for a moment. And let's just examine our hearts. Here are a few questions. How have I been defining fellowship? How have you been defining fellowship? Is it a definition that looks like this? It's fellowship when I'm gathered with people that I know and like, and we're watching a basketball game. And as long as we're together and while Christians in one room, then that's fellowship. What is your definition? How have you been defining fellowship? Or how about this? Am I constantly surrounded by people who are just like me? Let's examine our hearts. Am I constantly surrounding myself with people who are just like me? Are my relationships marked by Jesus Christ as the center of our common life together? Or how about this? In the midst of this global pandemic, will I move towards true fellowship through the opportunities that are available, or will I allow myself to slowly drift away? Some important questions for us for self-examination today, church, as we jump into this new series. I want you to know you don't have to be alone. And you'll get your arms around that reality, even if you're feeling lonely today. You'll get your arms around that reality to the extent that you understand true biblical fellowship. Fellowship means that we all share a common life. I'm praying that that becomes the reality of the gatherings and the getting together of online of our church in these days. Fellowship means that we all share a common life. Secondly, fellowship means this, write this down. We're all partners in a common mission. Not only do we all share a common life, but we're all partners in a common mission. On the screen, this is so helpful to understand. In Philippians 1, 3 to 5, we see another use of the same word for fellowship in the New Testament, and it's translated partnership. And it really does encapsulate the life and fellowship of the early church as it's laid out in Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice it. The Apostle Paul says this, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy," here it is, "because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Partnership. Partnership. Not only do we share a common life in Christ, but more specifically, we share a common objective and a common purpose. What is this purpose? Well, we see the purpose unfolding all throughout the book of Acts in the fellowship of the believers. Clearly, it is the promotion of the gospel. It is to be witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's to glorify God in all that we do. This is what must mark our fellowship with one another. We are partners in the gospel. We are laborers together with an objective and with a purpose and with a common mission and a common objective that has eternal implications. A biblical understanding of fellowship then is absolutely necessary if we as a church are to be obedient to the Great Commission. Because the Apostle Paul uses this word, translated partnership, the same word in the Greek, fellowship, to convey this reality. We not only share a common life together, but we all share in partnership in a common mission. Now, I remember the week before we launched our church. It will be 7 years ago next week on April 21st. I can't believe how time flies. We were a core group of about 60 people, all working so hard to get everything done in order to launch our church on April 21st of 2013. We wanted to be witnesses in the city of Toronto of the gospel of Jesus Christ and see an expression of the gospel, an influence for the gospel spread farther. And I remember that week before we launched, we were in a soft launch. We were in the theater where we would launch our church. And I remember being there and really feeling the pressure and the weight of leadership. And yet, all around me were all these faithful partners in the gospel. Now, I have this image in my mind. I can remember it so clearly. One particular partner in the gospel who's still with us in our church till this day. I remember I was standing off to the corner, just feeling the weight of what we were about to do and the weight of leadership and everything still coming together. And I remember he came up to me and he said these simple words. I remember it like it was yesterday. He put his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Pastor, we are with you." He said, "Pastor, we are with you. I'm sharing that with you. I cannot tell you how much that meant to me in that moment. That I was not alone. That I had partners in the gospel. That we were sharing a common life together. And that we were sharing in a common mission together." I remember that moment like it was yesterday. I can't believe it was 7 years ago now, because it meant so much to me to know that I wasn't alone in this mission, but I had partners in the gospel. Oh, loved ones, oh, how I pray that we would all experience this. That we would know today that you don't have to be alone. In fact, we need each other today more than we may realize. And we have a common mission, even in the midst of this global pandemic. And maybe, just maybe, an even greater opportunity than ever before. Now, God's timing for this series is perfect. As we find ourselves socially isolated, I'm not naive to the reality that we can't get out and meet one another. But could it be that that's why this message comes to us with such urgency right now, so that we can begin to feel deeply this sense of isolation and realize in a more profound way than ever before how much I need this kind of meaningful, common shared life with the people in our church and this beautiful partnership in the gospel to strengthen me. Oh, how I pray, loved ones, that we would be strengthened in our partnership in the gospel. That's what fellowship means. It means that we all share a common life. I'm praying that we see that and we live that out. It means that we're all partners in a common mission. And I pray that in your heart right now, you're yearning to have others around you, maybe online, maybe on a phone call, maybe through text messaging, but getting around people based on your union and shared life in Christ as partners together. But there's a third and last thing I want to show you as we get this series started. Fellowship means that we all share a common life. We're all partners in a common mission. Finally, fellowship means that we have all things in common. We have all things in common. I want you to look at verses 44 to 45, and I'm not going to say much here. I want the text of Scripture to speak for itself, but I want you to consider this. Verses 44 to 45 says this of the early church and of their fellowship. It says this, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." This is a description of their fellowship. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Would you just consider the scene? Would you just consider that? I'm going to read that again. I want the Word of God to just sink in. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." We have all things in common as believers in Christ. I pray that would be a reality in our church. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Now, would you just dream with me for a moment? Right where you are in your living room or in your bedroom or in your kitchen or wherever you're streaming this service right now, would you just dream with me for a moment? What would our church be like if we could be devoted to fellowship in such a way? Just dream with me for a moment. Consider this. What would our community be like? Our friends, our family, our neighbors, how could such a fellowship of believers impact people around us? How could such a fellowship of believers in such an individualistic society, how can such a fellowship of believers impact the city of Toronto, the province of Ontario, the world around us? Just dream with me for a moment, church. I believe the impact would be so profound. First, in your life. In your life, you don't have to be alone. You can join hands together with so many of us. Again, we can't do it physically in these days, but it doesn't mean we can't do it. I believe this is a time for us to gather and rally our church together. Dream with me for a moment about a church that loves one another so much, that shares a common life together so much, that it considers themselves as partners in a common mission so much, that we would be willing to be together and have all things in common, such that we would sell our possessions and sell our belongings just so that we could distribute the proceeds to any who would have need. Loved ones, I'm so encouraged to see that we're seeing glimpses of this happen in our church in these days. We're seeing this fellowship manifested in the lives of people who are facing hard things in this time, in this moment in history. But as I get ready to close, what about you? What about you? Are you connected to the body, recognizing that we all share a common life together? Are you connected to the body in such a way that you recognize we are all partners in the gospel together? What about you? Do you feel alone today? You don't have to be alone. God loves you. And if you put your faith and trust in Him, He has come into your life and into your heart, and He has established a union with you so that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And as a result of that profound union, He puts us now into relationship with one another, relationships that are so meaningful and so fruitful and so powerful. Have you experienced it for yourself? Is this your experience of the Church of Jesus Christ? As this series goes on, we're going to be digging deeper into what our community needs to look like, what this fellowship needs to look like. But for now, my question for you is this: are you ready to step forward and join hands with others. One simple way you can do that in these days is by joining a hope group. The vision we laid out from the beginning of this pandemic is this: every single person connected to a hope group. We saw more than 300 people respond to that call and be connected to a hope group. What about you? It is what we need. We all need biblical fellowship, and I pray that as you get ready to respond to that call and you join a hope group, if you're not already in one, or if you're in one, that you renew your commitment to that again so that we can share our common life together, so that we can be partners in a common mission together, so that we can have all things in common. I'm going to pray that our church is gathered together in a powerful way in these days, loving one another, serving one another, and being mobilized together for all that God has for us in this day. My prayer, loved ones, is when we get back, when we are able to meet together as a church, that our church will be different, more united, more strengthened, more empowered, experiencing more of this biblical fellowship. Pray that with me, church. In fact, let's pray it right now as we get ready to close. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would solidify this truth and cause it to take root in our hearts together today. That we as followers of Christ don't have to be alone. Lord, I pray right now for those that are watching right now, and maybe they're thinking to themselves, you don't understand, Jason. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. I do feel alone. Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would minister to all those who do feel wounded, who do feel alone right now. And I pray that you would show us the reality that our union with you will transcend anything else. And because we have union together with you, Jesus, we can have powerful relationships with each other. I pray that you would begin to soften our hearts so that every single person in our church desires that and wants that and moves towards that, so that we could be a church made up of people who can say, we are, in fact, never alone. Jesus is with us. He has saved us, and he has bound us together in a powerful way. Oh God, let it be so. And I do pray right now, I make it a matter of prayer that as we get back together, whenever we do, in a few months or in a few weeks or whenever you decide, that our church will be changed and strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.